B4 Current Affairs, Daisha AM on WLRFM.
The administrator of the parish of Dunhill-Fenner is my next guest, and he is Father Paul Murphy. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Billy. How are you?
Very well indeed.
I'm sorry I missed you on Wednesday. One of the other raging issues here, of course, is the lack of mobile phone coverage, okay. So you couldn't get me.
And yesterday was the Feast of the Assumption,
so obviously we were
busy. Okay, what's your side of the story then?
Well, I suppose just to put some historical context on it, Billy, some years back, when the graveyards at Holy Cross Church in Tremor were full, the council provided a brand new cemetery at Riverstown in Tremor. I think you might have heard about it at the time, because some people didn't like it, others had fears about it, more wanted to be buried where there was a church and so on. And the graveyards in the locality then, say like in Dunhill and Fenner and Ballygunner and others, were identified as preferential places to bury the dead. And so, you know, these places had to initiate policies to protect the limited space that was available. At that time, after what I believe was a lengthy debate between the priests and the people, it was decided that only people living in the parish could get a new grave in Dunhill or Fenner. Now, of course, if your family already had an existing grave, there wouldn't be any problem about being buried there, you know. I suppose in my time then in the parish, the parish pastoral council, the membership of which is open to everyone in the parish, debated graveyard issues several times. And in fact, in May 2011, we decided that there might be instances when people living outside the parish would be deserving of a new grave. The wording that we came up with at that time from the minutes of that meeting was, exceptions for non-parishioners and any special cases are a matter for the parish administrator and the chairperson of the parish pastoral council, together with two members of the graveyard committee of the church involved. Their decision is final. And I suppose from our point of view, the important thing was that four people were appointed to take those decisions. So you had the priest, whoever that was, the chair of the parish pastoral council for the time being, whoever that was, and two members of the cemetery committee. And these delegates and this number of them were chosen because we felt it gave independence and transparency to our business.
But so, does it, Paul? Because it's a tad subjective, isn't it? I mean,
well, of course,
surely it should be more transparent than that in terms of policy.
But there has to be some subjectivity to it, you see. But the point here, Billy, is that no one person, including the priest, could be accused of favouring a particular individual or family or having a bias against another. Because four people who were just officers, whoever they were at the time, happen to be the ones making the decision.
But isn't, with all due respects, this proposal from that meeting rather more clear and also cleaner? Because they're asking that everyone who lives in the parish, as well as those who were born, baptised or grown up there, are part of the community or have spent their formative years in the parish, are entitled to a new grave in the parish graveyards, as well as their spouses or partners.
Yeah, it sounds great, doesn't it? But you see, the difficulty is, like, is it one of those five things? Is it all of those five things? I have three baptisms tomorrow in Fenner. Mm-hmm. Now, all the children are most welcome. But one of them and the family have never been in Fenner before. They're coming from England, and the only reason that they're coming to Fenner to be baptised is because I had the child's mother in school, in primary school in Waterford, some years back.
Okay.
Now, according to this, that child, because of the virtue of baptism in the parish, is entitled to a grave.
Okay.
To get me.
I can see that point. So therefore, now, this proposal could be refined.
Yes. Now, we had come up with a proposal ourselves earlier this year, in fact. Over the past year, the cemetery committees have worked on a document, and the parish pastoral council saw it in May and June at both meetings in those months. And we came up with a wording that says, I'll just give you the relevant part of it, Billy. Now, this is paragraph 29 of a cemetery policy document, right? And it's the second subparagraph. Catholics not residing in the parish may use an existing grave with the permission of the holder of the right to burial. Such persons may be permitted by the council to purchase the right to burial in a new grave, having considered their birthplace, their schooling, commitment to the parish, and other relevant issues. Now, what are those relevant issues?
Yeah, but I'm sorry, but yeah, but it remains very subjective.
It does, and this is the reason why it hasn't yet been passed, because we're not entirely satisfied with the wording. Just like the wording of the proposal from the large meeting also seems inadequate. Do you know? I made a proposal recently, Billy, to the Parish Pastoral Council that the only qualification necessary to be buried in any of our cemeteries is that you be dead. So it's open to everyone. But you know the story of the feud in the Irish psyche, the same as I do. And what did I get? But Father, sure, we'd run out of graves for ourselves and then we'd have to go to Riverstown. Do you know?
Yeah, but there is this cultural assumption, I think, on the part of a certain generation that they would like to be buried with their own people. And that's very strong.
It is, when the space is available. You see...
And do you have space in Dunhill and in Fenner?
Well, we have a certain amount of space, you see, but like everything, I suppose the theory behind it was that the more you open it, the quicker it's used up. And therefore, the people who are here every Sunday as part of our worshipping Eucharistic community end up without space because people come from everywhere else to be buried here. Do you get me?
But they don't just come from everywhere else. They come from everywhere else because they started off in Fenner. They're either born, baptised or reared in Fenner or in Dunhill.
Not necessarily, Billy. I mean, that would be the majority of them, I would have to say. But I've had requests from people who want to... I don't want to say anything about Tramore, but from a number of people in Tramore who just didn't want to be in Riverstown, and that was the reason. Do you know? And like, I have to sit in front of those people and say, sorry, your late husband who died this morning can't be buried there because you've no connection here. Do you know? Nobody wants to have to do that.
Yeah, but lots of hurt has been caused. Can I just, and I'm not going to quote the parish, okay? Because it isn't the parish that you're administrating at the moment. But you have situations whereby, for example, couples have lived in a parish, say, for 20 years, and they move out of a parish. They might have been born in the parish that they move out of. And then when it comes to the point of one or both dying, the expectation on the part of the siblings, of the offspring, is that mum or dad will be buried in what they consider to be the home place. Not the place they've sort of migrated to, but where they began. And then they're refused. And that caused an awful lot of hurt.
Yeah. That's true, and that's why, as I say to you, we have four people who meet together. Like, I just don't decide, oh yes, you can or you can't or whatever. Four people, whoever they are at the time, meet together to discuss this. Like, I believe that you had some talk the other day about a particular incident, and I don't really want to get into particular.
Well, actually, we didn't. We just avoided that. Yeah. It was just alluded to.
But there was a misunderstanding somehow that made its way around the place.
Okay, well, can you clarify that without going into too many...
The misunderstanding, Billy, that went around was that somebody recently was refused a grave in Fenner because of the manner of the person's death. But let me reassure your listeners that within 24 hours of being asked, our small committee had met and had offered the family a brand new grave in Fenner. And they also had an existing family grave in Fenner that was available to them too.
So that's, rural legend then.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Now, can I just read to you some of the comments we're getting in, okay? And this says, Joseph from the city said his wife was born and baptised in Dunhill 50 years ago. They moved to Waterford City some years ago. Would she be entitled to a burial plot in her home village? Can Father Murphy please clarify?
What we try to do, Billy, is to explore what are the possible avenues. So, for example, if a family somewhere has an existing grave in the parish that may not be used again or whatever, well, then that would be the ideal place, and that saves up on space. Do you get me?
Now, some of this stuff, I don't mean that in any pejorative sense, but some of the comments we're getting are now becoming ad hominem, and we have a policy here in this programme that we never read that kind of stuff out.
Lucky for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Now, just to go back to that meeting, what's going to happen now? Going to address the issues?
I did hold an extraordinary meeting of the Parish Pastoral Council last week. I mean, the council works 10 meetings a year. We normally take the summer off, July and August. So we held a meeting last week to consider the proposals from the meeting of interested parties in July. But as I say to you, like, this is part of our day-to-day business. You see, it's stuff that we've been working on anyway. So we will be taking up the issue again at our next meeting in September. And we'll be more than willing to hear the views of parishioners. Like, I do host an open parish meeting every year to discuss our parish accounts.
Yeah, but do you hold a very conservative line, Paul? Paul, do you hold a very conservative line on most things? Because listeners on to say, between funerals, baptisms, weddings, etc., there's nothing but hassle in Dunhill and Fenner. It's time for it all to stop. We're just fed up of it. It's our parish after all.
Yeah. I
mean, do you do things by the letter of the law or the spirit of the law, or do you bend?
We try, I suppose what we try to do here.
But who's we? Sorry, I mean, what the royal we.
Let me say, what I try to do is to do things the way that I'm meant to do them, the way that I'm asked to do them by the bishop whom I represent and by the church. That way, I believe if I do the thing the way I'm asked to do it, well then, I can't be seen to be given favouritism to one over another or whatever.
Okay.
You see,
and
you won't please some of the people any of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? But the Parish Pastoral Council, which is made up of about 15 ordinary parishioners and myself, is always happy to receive correspondence from parishioners.
But how is the parish council formed? It's
formed at an open meeting, and right, everybody is invited. In fact, we announce it for several weeks beforehand that every October we have this change.
And is it there to rubber stamp your decisions, or is it something democratic?
Well, I mean,
well, the church ain't a democracy.
We all sit around the table and we discuss these things. Now, I suppose ultimately, if it was to come to it, I mean, the decision has to come to me. I happen to be the administrator. But I mean, if I act like that the whole time, why would I waste 10 meetings a year or 11, 12 meetings a year meeting with people if I'm just going to, you know, ignore what they're saying to me?
So how are you going to react to that proposal agreed at that public meeting?
Well, as I say, the wording is inadequate, as is our own wording. So it's to come up with the wording is a difficulty. If people have other suggestions, as I say, write them into us, we'll take
Yeah, but will you meet the representatives of that group?
I will meet with some of them, Billy, yes.
But why just some?
Because, you see, if you're going to a meeting of 200 people, you'll have 200 voices and so on. So if I meet with some of them...
No, but they have elected a group, have they not?
There are representatives, yes.
Yeah, well, yes. Will you meet the representatives?
I'll meet with some of them.
Why just some of them, Paul, if the people have elected them to represent them?
Yeah, because, Billy, you see, the bigger you put these meetings, the less you get done, as you know.
But how large is this committee?
There's six representatives, I believe, of their...
So why won't you meet the six of them?
What I'm saying to you is that if we get together with a whole lot of people, isn't it much
For God's
more,
sake, six is a small number, Paul.
No, but you see, they want to meet with the Parish Pastoral Council now, and the cemetery committees. Now, if that happens, you have a room of 40 people.
Yeah, but this committee, this group of six people, have been elected by this committee who have these concerns about the burial issues.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that you're only prepared to meet some of them.
Well, they're not all parishioners, Billy, for a start.
Okay, I didn't realise that.
Do you know? Yeah, they're not. So you see, like, these are all the things you have to take into consideration.
But what's to be lost in meeting them?
Well, you see, I have their proposal. Do you get me? Like, they have met...
But you could defuse all this simply by meeting these six people.
Oh, I will be meeting with their representatives. But I mean,
six.
As I said to you, Billy, they're not all parishioners.
But that's neither here nor there. They have concerns about this issue for some reason, and they've been elected by this group. Why not meet them?
The reason, Billy, is, as I said to you, that the more people we have at a meeting, the less...
Paul, with all due respect, six is not an army.
Right, we'll agree to differ on that one.
But I mean, okay, with all due respect, I mean, is it a power thing? Is it a control thing? I mean, what is it?
Well, you know that with any difficulties like this, there are other underlying issues in a place.
Well, then beat them and trash it out.
Yes, well, I'll be writing to them soon to arrange that meeting, and we'll have it.
But will you meet all six?
I won't meet all six.
Why?
Because I don't need to meet all six.
Surely, on the human level, out of just common courtesy, these people have been elected by this group in the parish. Obviously, the people who are not from the parish have concerns about it. I'm assuming that they're perhaps their relations are in the parish, or they were born in the parish, or the connections with the parish, and you won't meet them.
Yeah, we will...
Who's we?
We, the parish pastoral council, and myself, will amicably sort out this problem about the graves in Fenner and Dunhill, and we'll put together a policy which is as suitable as it can be for everybody concerned.
But you do it your way.
But we'll do it in a reasonable way.
But isn't it about, you know, sort of gathering people in these days rather than alienating people?
Yeah, of course. But
Then the whole thing comes across to me as being a tad kind of legalistic.
But sure, isn't it, Billy? You see, why do we have to...
No, because human beings operate on the emotional end of things. We're a sea of emotions on a dot of brain. Right, and where people are met, I mean, it's the old incarnational stuff. You meet people in the bits and pieces of every day, and there's, I would say for most people, nothing more important about its birth and its death.
That's right.
And we shouldn't be fighting over these things. If people want to be buried down in the sand hills, let them be buried, and let some priest go down there and do the ceremony. I mean, this,
the county council might have.
Well, no, sorry, I'm being serious about this here. For God's sake, where would Jesus be in all of this? Fighting over who was from the parish or not from the parish, or being buried in the parish, or been, you know, I mean, I just don't get it.
Billy, the problem for any of us, of course, we'd prefer not to have any rules and regulations at all. Why don't we? But why do we have to have them is because of previous experience. That's where rules come from.
But I would imagine that there are people with land in your parish who would say to you, look, I've got a back garden. I mean, and I'm not being, you know, I'm not demeaning the thing here now, but if Mary from the parish, who was born in the parish, emigrated from the parish, wants to be buried in the parish, she can be buried in the parish because I'll provide the land.
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, but the church is turning around. What you're turning around and saying is, here are our rules and regulations.
But there has to be rules and regulations.
To a point.
But that goes without saying. And as I say to you, these develop.
But does the parish council ask themselves this question? What would Jesus do in this situation? Does that ever come up? Paul, answer the question. Does that ever come up? Does your parish council on this matter, do you pray about it? Do you actually say, what would the Lord do in this context?
Yeah, we begin every meeting.
So you pray. But do you ask the question?
With prayer.
But do you ask the question, what would Jesus do in this situation?
Well, I don't know if that particular way of asking it has been addressed, but certainly that's what we hope.
Because
to
you're erring on the side, and this has been the huge mistake with the church, and you're going back to it, you're erring on the side of canon law rather than gospel.
Billy, in the past few years, in terms of people getting grave space, And
I'm broadening the discussion.
And securing it.
Paul, I'm broadening the discussion.
Yeah, but I want to tell you why there are rules. I've been offered bribes by people to give them graves. I've been asked to allow them to extend graves in the dead of night where nobody would notice. I've had graves opened by one family member to bury someone and closed by another family member because they wouldn't have that person buried there. I've been asked to exhume bodies because they ended up beside a particular relative in the plot that they didn't want to be beside.
So why didn't you stand up in the pulpit? Why didn't you stand up in the pulpit and say that?
Because the pulpit isn't the place to be.
Well, stand outside the front door of the church in Fenner and in Dunhill and say it.
But I'm saying it here with you now.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you know?
So what you're saying...
Those aren't things that you go around publicising, and maybe I shouldn't even be saying those things. But that's the reality of life. And that's what we're trying to do, is to deal with the reality of life as it comes to us.
So you won't meet the six, you'll only meet some of them.
So we'll let you know how the meeting goes.